This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. It's 8:36 in the morning, Friday the 10th of April, day 24 of our movement control order. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be taking a look at automakers with comments from Bruce Clark, Senior Vice President at Moody's Investor Service. But right now, let's take a look at how markets were doing.
Well, the U.S. closed in a nice shade of green. Actually, it did come a little bit down from its highs. But nonetheless, the S&P 500 was up 1.45%, Dow Jones was up 1.22%, and NASDAQ was up 0.77%. Meanwhile, looking at Asian markets that have already opened, Japan's Nikkei 225 is up 0.11%, Korea's Kospi is up 0.4%, and the Australian market is up, wow, a whopping 3.46%.
All right. And this morning, for insight.
Oh. Australia is closed for Good Friday. I apologize. That was yesterday's numbers.
Okay. So now we know not to look at Australian numbers later on. But this morning, for more insights into global markets, we have on the line with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Thank you for joining us, Tim. Now, the Dow and the S&P 500 have been trending upwards this week. Is this a sign that investors are slowly beginning to move past the pandemic's worst effects?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was an oversold condition. And then with all the stimulus that came in from, you know, both the Fed by way of monetary policy and their asset buying programs, I think that plus a seeming end, or at least an end in sight, hopefully, to this epidemic, that I think gave the market a little bit of some bargain hunting and, you know, onward and upward.
And Trump says he wants to reopen the economy with a bit of a big bang. But with businesses closing and unemployment rising, what kind of time frame are we realistically looking at for a recovery in the U.S.?
You know, my thinking is that we start in May, phase it in, and I think by probably end of June, that the economy, assuming there's no relapse or second wave, that perhaps we'll start getting back to normal. And then we'll be dealing with a different problem, and that may be price pressures.
Now, oil prices also fell last night, Tim, despite an OPEC Plus meeting with a pledge to cut 10 million barrels a day. Why is this?
You know, it's difficult, you know, these cartels and the production. And then you have the OPEC members who can't even always agree, and then the non-OPEC members, and now the United States. So, you know, this has just been an interesting, I think, an opportune time to really go after the jugular to the U.S. shale market. And, you know, they seem to have done a pretty good job, but couldn't have picked the worst time to do it. So I think in these cuts here, they're going to be looking for more. And in my view, I think oil prices will stabilize and probably move upwards. But I think there's been a lot of damage done. And the supply, I believe that the supply, lower prices should take care of lower prices and make for higher prices later this summer.
And Tim, let's look at the European Union, because the finance ministers there, they did agree on a €540 billion rescue package last night, but without actually agreeing on the issuance of a joint coronavirus. Now, what does this mean for the European economy?
You know, I think it kind of reminds me a lot of the crisis we had back earlier this decade and the divide between the North and the South. Whereas, you know, this concern of a fiscal deficit and the fact that even though there's monetary union in the ERM, you know, you don't have fiscal union. So I think it's just very difficult for them to come to some sort of agreement. And they don't seem to like, you know, like Italy, for example, has to run higher deficits. And, you know, and I think they still have, believe it or not, some disagreement. So I think it's very difficult. Their asset buying program seems to be their only real game in town. But hopefully, maybe they'll see some successes from the United States and perhaps maybe take a page from that book. But it's difficult the way they're structured.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Tim. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Now, oil prices are interesting this morning. They are currently at, is that $31, 31-odd dollars, Shani?
Yeah, it's actually down 4% to $31.48 per barrel. I think this is on the back of the fact that, yes, OPEC Plus did agree to cut production of oil, as what Tim said. So there was this marathon APEC Plus video conference, you know, and but so they agreed 10 million. But, you know, when you look at the numbers, prior to COVID-19, consumption, daily consumption was 100 million barrels. Now, we do know that with most of the world in some form of a lockdown, I think estimates are that the real demand has been slashed by 35%. Now, if you do simple maths back of the envelope calculation, then what you need is a cut of 35 million barrels, right?
Yes.
But that's not forthcoming because OPEC Plus has only agreed on cutting 10 million barrels per day off the market to kind of resuscitate oil prices. So clearly, when we look at financial markets, they think, okay, there's a cut, great, but it's not enough. Hence, you do see oil prices coming down by 4%. And markets always act on fact negatively. They kind of move forward in anticipation. They act positively in anticipation of good news. And then when the real news comes out, price corrects. That's market behavior. That's very strange, but it's true.
So the spotlight now is on the Group of 20 energy ministers meeting today. So contributions from major producers, including the US and Canada, could boost efforts to revive prices. So the OPEC alliance is seeking reductions of as much as 5 million barrels a day from the G20, but will reduce their output even if the G20 doesn't join in. Now, Russia has insisted that America must do more than just let market forces reduce its own record production. But Trump has said that America's cut will happen automatically as low prices put shale in dire straits. And this sentiment was reiterated by his energy secretary as well.
Yeah, I think the other big news coming out of, global markets is, of course, the action of the Federal Reserve, right? Because everyone's watching them. They are the granddaddy of all central bankers, right? The largest out there. So the Fed has come out to say that they will invest up to $2.3 trillion in loans to aid small and mid-sized businesses and state and local governments as well. And this is interesting. They will purchase some types of high-yield bonds, collateralized loan obligations and commercial mortgage-backed securities, because there was some talk that this would be the new risk factor in the US economy. So they have laid out details of this highly anticipated mainstream lending facility, which will help deliver funding to companies much bigger than those that are currently eligible for help, which in a way does explain why US markets did better than expected last night on the back of this extra liquidity into the system, helping US businesses kind of stay afloat during these difficult times.
So this program is going to be backstopped by about $75 billion from the Treasury to absorb any losses. Banks that handle the loans will be required to retain a 5% interest in each loan, with the facility purchasing the remainder. So the new measures also do, of course, come on top of the massive stimulus that the Fed has already announced, putting the institution into the sort of speculative lending activities it had shunned in the past. But of course, this is a new ground for almost everyone in the world, so it's unsurprising that the Fed should be taking extraordinary measures to deal with an extraordinary crisis. So right now, though, we are heading into some messages, and up next, we're speaking with Bruce Clark, Senior Vice President at Moody's Investors Service on the automotive industry. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.